Reporting to you from the Big Iron Farm Show, I'm Kara Hart here on the Red River Farm Network. Joining me is the Ag Advisor to the Environmental Protection Agency Administrator. We've got Rod Snyder joining us here as he's going to be joining the North Dakota Grain Growers Association's e-tour. They made a stop at Big Iron today. Really glad to have you in North Dakota. Welcome.
Thanks for having me, Kara. It's great to be here.
Just kind of cutting to the meat of the issue here because we don't have a lot of time to chat. I know farmers and ranchers watching a lot of what's happening with the pesticide approval process at the EPA. Walk us through, maybe quickly, of how EPA decided to take a new approach and evaluate some of the approvals that have already been made on product.
I'll just start by saying Administrator Regan is committed to following the science and following the law. And so that's sort of a bedrock principle for everything that we're doing. And I'll also say that, we understand how critical it is to keep tools in the toolbox for farmers to be able to respond to, a whole host of challenges in production agriculture. Broadly speaking, we are working to we're working on registration review under FIFRA, which means every 15 years all products have to be reviewed with new best available science. That process is underway. We also have a new work plan with respect to endangered species, the Endangered Species Act. Over the last decade or more, a number of federal judges have said that we've not met our obligations under the Endangered Species Act when we bring products to market, and so we have to go back and work with Fish and Wildlife to look at impacts and how we make sure that these pesticides are not adversely impacting threatened or endangered species. So all of that is part of what our workload is this year, and it's part of normal everyday review now at EPA.
So I've had some farmers ask me, because we cover a lot of farm news and policy, products that they're used to having on the farm they can no longer have on the farm because of this process. And I think there's some confusion there that didn't it go through an approval process initially? So why is it getting flagged for something that went through an initial EPA process? How would you respond to concerns from those growers?
Well, it's product by product. It depends on the product. So, we could talk a bit more specifically about which products you're referring to. But the registration review process is intended to be able to, every 15 years, take a look at new science or data that the registrants, the companies, have presented to evaluate those impacts on both human health and the environment. That's the way the law was set up. So we have to, go back every 15 years and do what's referred to as registration review. That process is underway now, and sometimes new data is presented that we have to consider.
I think of chlorpyrifos or atrazine.
Yeah, so chlorpyrifos is a very unique situation. That product had been under litigation for over a decade. And a judge told us last summer of 2021 that essentially that we needed, if we couldn't make a definitive safety finding, that we needed to take immediate action. And so it's a very unusual circumstance where the agency revoked the food tolerances and then is going through a cancellation proceeding for food uses. That's not the case for the non-food uses, but that was a very unusual circumstance that was really driven by litigation. With respect to atrazine, we have a proposal out right now that takes into consideration potential new impacts on water quality. And so we're working right now, meeting with a lot of grower groups, the corn growers and others, to figure out how can we work together to reduce runoff and reduce impacts on aquatic species while also maintaining the product. I just want to be very clear that there's not a proposal to remove atrazine from the market, not locally nor nationwide. The conversation right now is really around what mitigations are needed to help ensure that the product remains on the field and doesn't move into waterways. So that's really what's under discussion. There's a comment period open until October 6th specific to atrazine, and I know a number of the grower organizations are submitting comments.
A lot of biofuel fans up here in the north watching what happens with the renewable fuel standard, the advancement of that, and I know EPA Administrator Michael Regan said earlier this week that the agency was on track to release the renewable volume obligations, I think, by the end of the year. Is that right?
Yeah, November 16th is the deadline by which we need to release the RVOs for 2023. That's for the proposal, and they need to be finalized by June of next year. And Administrator Regan spoke yesterday morning at Growth Energy's annual biofuel summit, and I think was very clear about his position and the Biden administration's position that renewable fuels, biofuels, are a critical piece of our clean energy and climate strategy. It's critical for rural economic development. It's critical for the ag economy. And we want to continue to grow the biofuel sector in the United States. And, that's been true, I think, since Administrator Regan came on last year, getting the renewable fuel standard back on track. President Biden traveling to Iowa earlier this spring to announce the emergency waiver to allow for E15 to be sold throughout the entire summer of 2022. These are really concrete, specific actions that we've taken to ensure that we support the biofuel sector and also consumers out there who are looking for these lower cost options.
So earlier this week, President Biden issued an executive order on biotechnology and asking the agencies to take a closer look at what could be done to, continue to educate and promote biotech in certain agriculture environment areas. Where do you see the work of EPA overlapping with USDA on that moving forward?
Absolutely. We work very closely with USDA on the biotech regulatory framework. We will have a role to play. Obviously, that executive order is still quite new, so I haven't had all the discussions with USDA yet. But biotech and the advancement in biotechnology and in that science is critical to U.S. agriculture. And we're going to lean in and take that executive order very seriously, working with Secretary Vilsack on those issues.
Thank you. And you're here, of course, for the North Dakota Grain Growers Association's e-tour. Again, welcome to North Dakota. What are you looking forward to seeing while you're here in this short time that you're here in the state?
Well, I'm very excited to be here. It's been a few years since I've been in North Dakota, and so it's good to be back. This is one of the favorite parts of my job is to be able to actually get out in the field and talk to farmers, talk to others who are working on the ground on all these issues, looking at how the decisions that we're making at EPA impact real people and how we can work together across the country with the ag sector to have a productive food supply and also conserve and protect the environment. Those things are not mutually exclusive, and I get to talk to farmers every single day around the country and including here in North Dakota about how they're doing just that. They're producing an abundant food supply and also conserving natural resources. So that's exciting to come and see and talk to real people, get outside the beltway and have those conversations. So that's this is the best part of my job.